In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. A rather grisly gospel reading today. John's head on a platter. And yet it does speak to several things. One is that it's dangerous to speak truth to power. John was in trouble with Herod's wife because John had had the temerity to tell Herod, you really shouldn't marry your brother's wife. He had had his brother executed, and so Herodias was up for grabs, as it were, and so Herod grabbed her, made her his wife. And she was not pleased with John the Baptist telling people he really shouldn't have done that. And so he was arrested. And I love the line that talks about Herod liked to listen to John, although John really confused him. I mean, I can just see Herod sitting on the throne going, I don't understand it, but it sounds awesome. Somehow I think I get a lot of that myself, but I hope not. Just to be clear, this Herod is Herod the Great's grandson, the Herod of the Christmas story, who wanted to kill all the baby boys in Bethlehem, was this guy's grandfather. That Herod died, as you recall, and Mary and Joseph thought they could come back and live in Bethlehem, but they had to go to Galilee instead. This is that Herod's grandson, as I said, but he was still crazy too. Scholars think that he might have died of syphilis, which explains some of the craziness near the end. But he was not a sane, quiet, calm, wise ruler. He was a Herod, and they were all kind of the same. And yet, he liked John the Baptist. He'd put him in prison, keep him close, but at least he could, you know, bring him in and listen to him every once in a while. But here, this opportunity presented himself, where his stepdaughter comes in and dances for him, and he's so beguiled, and quite frankly, probably so drunk, that he says, whatever you want, man, half my kingdom, you can have it. And not wishing to pass up an opportunity, she goes, Mom, should I get a pony? No, not a pony, John the Baptist's head. I can't ride a head, what do I want with that? I want a pony. No, get the head on the platter, here's your opportunity. So she goes back in. I want John the Baptist's head on a platter. I cannot imagine this probably teenage girl coming in and asking for this. And then, you know, immediately somebody comes in and says, here you go. What do I do with this? Mom, you asked for it. You take care of it. And I'm sure she was happy to get rid of John. His disciples were mournful. They came in and took the body and buried it respectfully. No word is given as to whether they ever retrieved John's head. And yet, this is what happened when he had the temerity to speak truth to power. Fortunately, we live in a country where the right to criticize the government and our leaders is enshrined in the First Amendment, the freedom of speech. It doesn't mean that you can just call anybody any name you want to, but it means we can criticize our government. We can say when we think it has done wrong. And no matter whether we agree with other policies or not, or with the individual, him or herself, but when we as Christians see wrong being done, we can stand up and say that is wrong and not worry about being beheaded, usually. I haven't heard of it happening too often in the United States. Of course, that doesn't count in churches. You stand up and say something is wrong in a church and you might as well be beheaded. Some churches will turn on you faster than anything. Which is a shame. Of all places, a church should be a place where we are safe, where we can understand that we're not going to always agree with each other. We're going to understand that we are made up of individuals created in the very image of God. And sometimes we're going to come to different conclusions, and that's okay. We're not all going to agree on things. We don't have to. Because we agree on the most important things. We agree on God. We agree on Jesus Christ. We agree that there is salvation in the name of Christ. Everything else, quite frankly, is details. Adiaphora, if you want to use the fancy name for it. They're the non-essentials. And we can talk about them and discuss them and even fight, you know, if we're gentle about it, over it. Because we're going to disagree. It's going to happen. We just had a general convention, and there was plenty of disagreement to go around. Oh, this one seemed less contentious than some in the past. I was going through seminary in 2003 when Gene Robinson was coming up for a vote, and you know, talk about a contentious time in the church. It was awful. especially since the faculty at Sewanee was pretty evenly divided upon what should happen there. And so I went through three deans in 3 years, if that tells you anything about what was going on. This one was relatively mild, but even so, conversation comes up. How much should, if we should change the prayer book? What imagery should we use for God? What's appropriate? What's divinely inspired? What's just catering to the whims of people? It's hard to know. And we're going to make mistakes as we make our opinions known. And so what's required to go along with the discussion is humility. The understanding that we don't know everything. I don't know everything. As hard as that may be to imagine, I do not know everything. I fall short most of the time, actually. Just ask Erica. She'll be happy to tell you. By the way, Erica's not here today because Heaven was feeling a bit under the weather, and we weren't sure if she were contagious or not, and you don't want to have what she has. Otherwise, we're doing fine. I don't think she was just trying to avoid the reading this morning. We have opportunities in the church to come together and build one another up, even knowing we don't agree with each other. And that is an awesome thing. That doesn't just happen. That happens because of God, because God's Holy Spirit is invited among us. That we can cheer for different football teams. We can vote for different people. We can have different ideas about what needs to be done. And we can talk, and we can discuss, and we can understand, and we can love, and we can disagree. And those are not mutually exclusive. One of the great joys I've had in being here at St. James is not having to deal with a lot of that. I have been in churches where they have been at each other's throats. And y'all may be, but you behave yourselves doing it, so I'll give you that. And I'm thankful for it. But I want you also to know that you don't have to be afraid to speak truth to what power I might have. No one's going to get beheaded because you come to me and say, you're wrong. I'll think you're wrong too, and it'll work out. But I hope, if nothing else, that what you find in me is someone who is approachable. That you can come say, look, I heard you say this, or I know you think this, and I disagree with you, and I want to tell you what I think, and maybe make sure I understand what you think. That's what we all should do. We don't have to agree, but at least, as I said in my newsletter article, we can fight fair. We can try to understand. And to understand doesn't mean to agree. It doesn't mean to condone. It just means you understand. We don't have to worry about getting our heads cut off as a party favor. All we have to understand is that we come together in love, and that joins us together more strongly than anything that could possibly divide us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.